I say something before we get started?
Yes.
Yesterday's lesson really stirred things up in me. It bothered me, I think, ever since I've been a parent. And there's a big difference in disciplining children and being a selfish ass. When the children come along and disturb your selfishness, they get on your nerves, and then you yell at them, and they run away crying. You know, that's not discipline. That's what I experienced as a child, and that's what I do as a parent. And that's what I don't want to do. It actually feels right when you discipline a child in the right scenario.
Yeah, the thing about this learned behavior, and it's seen throughout the world, but you essentially the only thing you know about being a parent is what you learned from your parents, and it isn't a very good lesson. And so that's why it takes a village to raise a child.
Also, I was really glad I said something, because your response to what I said took away. I mean, I was about to walk out of here with a to-do. You know, I was going to try something. And then when Michelle don't try that with me, you know, that causes problems between us. You know, that there is nothing to do. There's no guidelines. But there is also a need to be at rest, you know, so that you're not being a jerk.
Well, I mean, we can see it. We can, you know, this is probably the main reason I never got married, and, well, other than nobody would have me, but and never had children, is because I did not think that I could make it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be a husband, and I certainly couldn't be a parent. And you know, I probably would have made a good mother, because I had a good mother. My dad was an idiot, and all I learned about being a dad was from him. I mean, look at Harry.
What does that have to do with your dad?
Well, Harry's dad was like my dad.
There's no way I could be a parent.
No, Harry, I mean, he, you know, he constantly belittled me.
Now we know where that part comes from.
Yeah. he was a wimp. Now you know where that part comes from.
Probably picked on me a lot.
Not really. He just did goofy stuff. Like we had a lot of money when I was a real little kid, and he'd iron the money. He'd iron it. I believe it. But no, so it would stack nicely. He ironed it, and then he had little stacks of money on the table, and my job was to count the money. And I just felt,
wow.
I felt ridiculous.
That's pretty weird.
And so, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I only say that because, you know, you could look at Harry and I are both the fruit of a father that yelled and.
Me too.
Yeah, well, and didn't really have any capacity in himself for love. And so, it's critical that we first of all, we have to see that in ourselves. And repent of it. It's not that we try to do it better or excuse it, or we just repent of it. And it causes a deeper emptying. So that, because the only thing that whether it's with children or being a spouse or being a person, it can only be by faith, which worketh by love, by agape. And that can only happen in our abandonment. But all these other things that, you know, this is what you should do, and this is, you know, that's one of the reasons from the beginning, much to the chagrin of the parents, I really kind of encouraged the kids to rebel, to know that they were all right, just to be them, just to be who you are. I mean, it's... Anyway, I'm glad you said that. We've been spending a great deal of time in Philippians 3:9. And be found in him not having mine own righteousness, mine own rightness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We've taught on this a lot in the past, but remember, I've kind of, we taught, I mean, we had a session after session on the idea of shame and how that really shame is the thing that when we're kids, it's what defines us, because it's what we do anything in our power to avoid. And in one real sense, the sin offering is the shame offering, because when you're little, I mean, there's no, when your personality is being developed, there's no, there's, you know, you can be ashamed of wetting your pants or ashamed of something stupid you did. But if you perceive that you have been rejected for making an offering or for doing your best, then there's no solution. And so you have to develop this personality that you're convinced now is the real you. But it's an entire defense mechanism that is to keep you from feeling the shame of your existence. Because shame says, I have no purpose. I can't be. I don't even have a right to be alive. Now, no adult is going to admit that until you come to the cross, but the idea that becomes, and maybe I've seen this in jillions of people, that they, at their core being, do not believe they have a right to be, and therefore they've developed a total extraneous personality by watching and, you know, and taking little pieces of this and that, and they develop a person. And so the real intense responses that you know, that we sometimes get around here, are because something that is said that threatens that carefully constructed persona that you have created to avoid shame. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I remember, I can't believe the way this just popped into my head when you said this. I remember, like it was 5 seconds ago, walking down the hallway in high school and deciding there's no way I would run for class president. Because if I didn't get elected, I'd have to go around and take down all the things that said vote for me. And there's no way I could deal with that. And it's like right there.
Now go back earlier. Because the remember the things that we've always talked about for all these years? About the one thing that you haven't been able to accept is that you're forgiven. And what that class president running or not running, that was a revelator of what really took place when you didn't feel like you had a right to be. Now, what's the good news here, for if we can see that, the good news is you have never been. now let him reign. And all of that is covered because you've been made, you've experienced the fellowship of his suffering and you've been made conformable unto his death. If by any means you might attain unto his resurrection. But the process that we call discipleship isn't about memorizing scripture or learning how to go out there and tell people to accept Jesus. The process of discipleship is this incredible emptying of the temple. Even to the place, you know, and I'm not picking on anybody, I just sensed it. I know that Gary has the same issue at the core. There's a part of you that doesn't believe you have a right to be. Now, every one of us have experienced it, but with some it's toxic. That's why you can't remember your youth.
Well, yeah. When Harry said that about whatever he said, and you talked about forgiveness, it made me realize how much power we give the Antichrist, because I can accept God's forgiveness, no problem, but can I forgive myself? It's like I give the beast power by not forgiving me. It's like when he's dead in the first place. So that's the transaction of forgiving yourself is so big.
It has to have the component. The only way you can forgive yourself with any integrity, I mean, you can say, oh, yeah, the blood washed in the blood. Then you go kill a dog. Or you murder somebody because they didn't meet your standards. The issue is the only way that you can forgive yourself is because the life is in the blood and it's his blood. The only way you can forgive yourself is to see yourself as dead. Everything else is psychobabble. It's sloppy agape. Just spreading around the forgiveness of Christ without any regard to what it costs. And so, for us, you know, I know that because I can see it in your faces whenever we talk about it. When the publican, well, let's go there, Luke 9, I think.
You know, a few days ago, when I forget, I think it was in Galatians, I forget what subject I was on. But, you know, when you tell me that, you know, that I was related to God.
Well, I mean, you're in the same boat because your definition of you don't meet your own definition of value, and so you know that's why for years you've sabotaged yourself. And the whole mystery of this is so that you can come to see that you have been made conformable, not to your death, to his death. And you're free, because for you to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ is your only life. He is the only hope of glory. And all these, you know, little psychological tricks that you play on yourselves are just they served their purpose. They were fine till now. They've allowed you to survive and to continue and to be and to reach this point. But now they're over. And they can be over by declaration. So that you can truly be free. You're forgiven by the blood of Christ, because the blood of Christ is a new creation, a new life. And all of the things that you suffered were just to make room in your particular office or position in his body so that you would fit. They have nothing to do with you. They never have. So when you know... That's what why we sing the new song. The new song is without the I motive. It's a song that Adam, the world, cannot sing because everything about them is the I motive. And it's not that it's just that it's childish. It's goofy.
I just kind of caught a glimpse of something really irritating thing that you say, like, I'm frightened. Okay, now substitute I for Jesus, and Jesus is frightened. You know, it's it just aggravates me when you do that.
I'm glad you told me that.
And I just got a glimpse of what you mean, of why that's true. It's the thing about the serpent being subtle, to sit and think that this poor little person has a problem means that poor little person exists. I mean, it's all to justify, it's all to prove that I'm resurrected. How can I have a problem? How can I feel rejected? How can I not have self-worth? Because I doesn't exist.
Remember the, I mean, we've studied it 500,000 times. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. I mean, it's not, I am crucified with Christ. That means you're dead. And all your I motives and attempts to put I in the center of your world are obvious. It's another being. Every time you're concerned with something, every time you're anxious about something, it sounds nice, but it's pure sin. Every time you get upset because something doesn't go your way, every time somebody interrupts you, and that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is pushing you to the edges of his tent pegs, which are at the edge of time and space, so that there is nothing. And remember, I've told you for years that if I can't put a trip on you anymore, no one can. Not because of who I am, but because of the office. And so when you know, I'm crude and rude and everything else, but I know that I know. We don't need to sweat this crap anymore. You never again need to be right or do right. That's not your business. And yet, that's what has defined you, is the acting like you're doing right. You've never done right in your life, but you act like you do. I mean, you've done right from your little standards. But your little standards of right are your Jerusalem that now is. You're the lawgiver. You're the judge, the jury. You're the legislature because you've created the law. You're everything. You're the judge, the jury, the victim, the sentencer, the prosecutor, and the executioner. Well, now turn that all and say, my God, the only freedom is for me to see that I am a phony being. I am a total hypocrite. I have no integrity. That's why the whole issue of the sinner and the publican and the... Who was the publican and who...
The neo-economist.
No, who was it? The publican and the... Went with it. Thank thee, Father, that I'm not like these folks.
You're going to read it.
I couldn't find it. Stop embarrassing me. It'll just make me self-conscious, and I'll be ashamed for the rest of the day.
You withdraw.
The parable of the neo-economist.
I go pout. I'll go think about it. That's what I'll do. That'll be good.
Mull it over.
I'll go.
You won't be nominated for Texan of the Year.
For what?
You will lose your nomination as Texan of the Year.
Texan of the Year.
Did you see that?
All right.
This made me think about true psychiatry. It's like psychiatry wants to make the old man okay and build him up and make him feel good about himself. But true psychiatry lays the axe to the root and cuts you off from that.
Amen.
So you can be free and repent.
What's going on, Kevin? You left us a few minutes ago. Come back, little Sheba.
Can you believe anybody would do that?
Can you imagine?
Let's go back to Philippians. See if I treated Kevin like I treated Gary. I couldn't find what I was looking for. The publican and the Pharisee, whoever it was, when the one said, "I thank you like I've accepted Jesus as my personal savior," or some crap. Not like these other people.
My personal servant.
And the other said, "Would not so much as raise his eyes." It said, "Forgive me." That doesn't stop. You don't do that once. You can never believe you're better than somebody else. Never. How can the chief of sinners be better than anybody? Philippians 3. That I may know him. And remember, we talked about that's not knowing him like, "Hi, Jesus." That's knowing him like, "I'd please God to reveal his Son in me. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Not the fellowship of your sufferings. Not your death. That already happened. That's a given. How can you suffer if now understand that the fellowship of his sufferings are in truth dealing with these internal contradictions in you? And secondly, that go to Romans 6. Romans 6, real quick. Verse 3. "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life," because it's his life. You can't try to die. That's just stupid. That just gives you life. That's why I hate it. I used to hate it. I don't see it as much. But everybody would run around and repeat like little mantras. "I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ." That's not reckoning yourself crucified. That's trying to use sorcery to apprehend a spiritual reality. Or I'm going to think about it. Well, you can't think about it. You're using that which is cursed to try to gain that which is blessed. You can only empty, which is the meaning of repentance, or abandon. And the only way to really empty is to abandon yourself. No self, you have no confidence in the flesh, means that you don't give your emotions, your thoughts, your ideas, your feelings, you give them no importance. And anyone that is trying to encourage you to do something or a how-to, you know that they're from Babylon. Understand a little bit. Not having mine own rightness or righteousness, which is of the law, my law, stupid law, but the righteousness which is of Christ, which is of the which is by faith, whatever it says, I forgot. Go back there. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith. It's all him. I am crucified with Christ. That means you're dead. But nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me sometimes? No. In the deepest, darkest recesses of your being, you empty so that he lives. I promised you yesterday I was going to talk about the relationship of being right to sex, and I didn't. And I got interrupted again today. So tomorrow we'll talk about raw sex.
You can leave that hook out there for 2 or 3 days.
Everybody
keeps coming back.
We can talk about Monday.
Warm out there in
Monday. People will tell their friends, and then everybody will keep.
1001 morning Bibles.
This is a very disgusting group of people. Now do you feel like talking, Kevin?
What I was thinking about is, as a child, feeling manipulated, approval, acceptance was dangled as a carrot. And then relating that to your spouse, I've heard it's been said that you typically marry a spouse that has your favorite trait of your favorite parent and the worst trait of your least favorite parent. I think that's true for me. But it's, you can see it's by design, because the same dynamics cause the antagonism as a child continued in marriage.
Well, plus it doesn't take a genius to know that nothing that you have ever wanted when you got it met any need, except for maybe a second. I mean, why would you think that that's any different for anything else? That's why he has no form. We can't even imagine. We have no comprehension of who he is. That's why, you know, show us wondrous things out of thy law, which, because the law reveals him. Show us, you know, that's why we study, that's why we do the feast. We learn more about Christ every year from the feasts. I mean, and we learn less and less about us. But that's why I hate, some of you know that I hate psychobabble, where somebody says they have a problem and then people give them their answer, what they think they should do about it. That just makes me crazy. You should never tell anybody what to do. You should tell them who they are. And everybody wants to know what to do. What?
Escape the affliction.
All right, please, 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 don't neglect so great a salvation for this momentary feeling of when you get mad at somebody, or you think you have a great idea and you feed on that for 6 or 7 months. I mean, that's just goofy. That's just silly. Pitiful. this table full of vomit. Oh, because I'm trying to establish it. I'm unique, and so I've got a new idea, and it's going to make me rich, and then I'll be happy. Oh, at least I'll be able to pay off all my debts. Then I'll be okay. Then I'll have some self-respect. All the other nauseous vomit that people eat. Oh, if I just get a few more subscribers to the door, then I'll be all right.
We're losing them. We went down again.
Your fault, is that?
We must be doing something right.
The things we do are meaningless. They're just a what? They're just a. You can't give them any breath. You give him alone importance. What?
I think about if you put something like all sex all the time on the door, it might bump up live new girls. Never win.
See, that's a perfect example of your ideas.
A lot of people probably like it.
It's called New Orleans.
Take it, big guy. Quickly. Please.
Get out of here.